Let us pray for Pastor Downey as he comes to read and preach God's word. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come to you, who art our God and teacher, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, Holy Spirit, intercessor, and the one who fills our hearts, enables us to hear, enables our hearts to believe. We pray to you, O God, that you will turn your attention to us now, that our hearts, our inner ears, may be open to receive what the Word says. That your Spirit be upon us, upon our pastor, as he opens this text, proclaims your Word and will to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We are in Ephesians 2. If you are not there yet, you can turn with me there. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, it's page 1242. We are reading from the heart of Paul's letter, the reason why he wrote, and this section has been rich. We have been spending time in it because it is the heart of the letter, and then the outworking continues in the second half of the letter. But as we read now, we'll focus our attention this week and, Lord willing, next week on verse 18 and what it's teaching us about this biblical theme of access. Let's begin reading at verse 11 of Ephesians 2 through verse 18. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. As Pastor Menninger mentioned, and I'm sure you're all well aware if you've watched the news at all, we are in an election year. Wonder how you're feeling about the upcoming candidates. How you feeling about the upcoming candidates? Pretty excited? Wish you could perhaps speak to President Obama? I mean, if anybody can do something perhaps about the future, and you're not going to get to speak to him about the years past. You have to speak to him about what's coming. Might you have a few choice words for your president? Your representative? Do you think if you left now, 13, 15-hour drive, you could even get on the grounds of the White House? Why is it that in a Western democracy, especially for the younger ones here, the importance of democracy is a really profound thing. It's Western democracy specifically because this has developed over the last few years. I mean, over the last few years, I say. A few hundred years. The American experiment is not even 250 years old. But what we say is that it is rulership of the people, by the people, and for the people. And yet, if any of you people wanted to go have a word with your representative, do you think you could even get access to President Obama? If he came down here to visit Lake Sherwood, how much pomp and circumstance and security would it require for you to get access to your president? Remember, he's an elected official who's a representative for you. And yes, he's the ruler of the free world. But it is serious to think about how difficult it would be for you to even get on the grounds of the White House, let alone have access to him, let alone then give him a piece of your mind, as it were. Now, we come together every Lord's Day as the people of God, and we come and open a word that we believe is not from the President of the United States, but a word from God. And at least 3/4, near to 1,000 pages of your Bible, teaches us about a difficulty of getting access to you, God. Access to your God was difficult. Now, just I don't want you to lose sight of this. I'm bringing you from your life right now in the 21st century, and we can take ourselves 2,000 years before Christ came. Was access to God allowed just willy-nilly? Early in the Old Testament, the principal mediator and representative of the people, what was his name in the book of Exodus? Moses, right? Moses, our mediator, a principal figure who would give us access to God. But God provided instructions to Moses for the construction of what we heard this morning in the service, a tabernacle. Do you remember? It was a heavenly patterned tabernacle. And it was patterned on, obviously, some sort of form or architectural structure in heaven in some way. But could just anybody run on into the tabernacle? Do you remember what would happen when the cloud would fall upon the tabernacle? The people of God would watch Moses go and meet with God. And they would sometimes fall on their face in worship because God's presence had come down to meet with their mediator. Do you remember these stories? All throughout Exodus, Leviticus, we're hearing about stringent stipulations and rules and commandments that must be met for even one person to enter. Right? We call these the high priests. And we gave an example here before you where, let's say, around the piano was where the Holy of Holies was. Where were you guys? Where were all you Gentiles, right? Outside, on the other sides of the wall. You couldn't even come into where Jewish ladies could come into. You definitely couldn't come into where Jewish males came into. You couldn't come into where the priest came into. And how difficult was it to access that Holy of Holies where God dwelt? Only once a year and never without blood. That priest, that one priest anointed in the Aaronic line, right? In the line of Moses' brother, only once could that high priest enter all the way through the Holy of Holies, never without blood, had to provide a sacrifice so he could enter into God's presence with that blood. You guys remember what happened to Aaron's sons? They didn't even come with blood. Leviticus 9 and 10, if you want to write that in your and meditate upon that today. What was it like for Nadab and Abihu to try and even get near the Holy of Holies? Do you remember the story? What did they offer? What kind of fire did they offer in that little incense burner that would be right here before the Holy of Holies? Breads on this side, lampstands on that side, incense right here. And what happened when they tried to offer unauthorized fire? Do you remember what happened from the presence of the Lord? Fire came out and consumed the sons of the high priest. Do you think you would have just gone barging in anywhere near God at that point? Access to God was extremely difficult. And we mentioned that tabernacle. Do you remember the other name? Do you remember what the other name of the tabernacle was? It was called the Tent of Meeting. Because there, Moses could meet with God. Why am I so severe and serious about this? Because God is holy. And access to God is not permitted by just anyone, any way you want. Is that clear? Because when you come to the first point in your outline, it says access to God, and sometimes we Americans think, well, of course. I mean, I'm American, right? But you know who I am, God? I will access my God any way I want, anyhow I want, anytime I want, etc., etc. But is that the right biblical attitude to come to the idea of access to God? Because God might say to you, You might just say, I'm sorry, there was 1,000 pages you needed to read in your Bible before you just walked into my presence. And the seriousness and the severity is known to the Jews and the Gentiles whom Paul is speaking to. And so when we come to Ephesians 2, Paul is doing what Jesus had done. He is gospeling peace. He is proclaiming, preaching an incredible peace that can be had only through the blood of Jesus. And so he then says in verses 17 and 18, let's read them again. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Do you remember where we closed last week? We were in Isaiah 57:19. And God himself had spoken, peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord. What's the point? Access to God was being prophesied in Isaiah 57. A peace that could be had with God to the far and to the near. And so Paul picks up that echo and he speaks both now to Jews and Gentiles and says, access for you is assured because of the blood of Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior. And this then helps us make sense of what Paul is saying here in Ephesians. To have peace with God means then to have access to his presence. To have that right vertical relationship means that we can now also spread that peace out amongst ourselves and into the world. Much like the high priest had access into the Holy of Holies only once a year and never without that sacrificial blood, now we say, always and forever, because of the blood of Christ, we all have access to God. Peace with God gives us access to God. And I want to emphasize this now because in the original language, there's a unique form of the grammar here. And it doesn't just say access once. It means access continually, to continue to have access to God. That then gives us a New Testament perspective. Because the Spirit of God has come and fallen upon his tabernacle, his temple, his people, which we'll hear much of in the next few verses of Ephesians 2. Because God dwells in us, he is now with us, and we bring Christ with us into the very presence of God. We enjoy the presence of God because of Jesus. The content of Christ's proclamation, remember? It was Christ who was gospeling peace, speaking gracious words since the beginning of his ministry, where we began last week's message. He proclaimed peace that through him we would have access. Peace with God gives us access to God, and that is continual access, personal. Jesus is personally bringing us in to the Father's presence every time we seek to speak to him. Do you remember where I began the sermon? How would it go for you to try and get into the access, to find access with your president? Even though you rule, technically, you're the people. It's of the people, by the people, and for the people. And yet we know it's difficult to get access to President Obama. But here, the Word of God is teaching us that through Jesus, we have personal and continual access to God through him. Have you prayed like that this week? Have you thought of these thoughts as you have entered into prayer with God? Imagine yourself like a little child. I want you to imagine in your mind now, like a little child, getting on your knees, folding your hands, and then praying to God. Do you come to Jesus like a little child, aware of this kind of access, so that you might fold your hands, bow your knees in prayer, and know that the Lord hears you? Jesus has made this access to God for us. And this sweet promise of peace is not just here. It says that we have access because we have peace, verses 17 and 18. But I wish you would turn over to Romans 5 with me. And I want you to know that this is not unique But it is Pauline, in that Paul teaches and links these ideas together. Romans 5, if you're using the Pew Bible and want to turn to page 1198. I want you to read with me Romans 5, 1 and 2. I want you to notice the connection of the ideas in the first two verses of Romans 5. Here it is now read. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Did you hear the connection? Having been justified by faith, that is, having been declared righteous before God, having trusted in Jesus, received Him, resting alone upon Him, and trusting in Him alone for my soul's salvation, I have been justified, declared righteous before God. But it is only in that way that we have peace with God and therefore access to God. There is no other way. And so I have been stressing this for you so that you would hear the connection of access to God, but it is through God as well. It's through God in the flesh, Jesus. And that's the second main point. Access through God in the flesh. The idea of access in Ephesians 2:18 teaches us certain truth. Paul connects this earlier point that the Gentiles, they were far off. They were not near like the Jews. The Jews thought they continued to think that they were the special chosen people of God. But what I showed you from the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 12 and 15 and 17, and also in Isaiah, was that it was always God's plan to preach peace, peace to the far and the near. And so, you Floridians, you Americans, are now hearing the peace of God in Jesus Christ. It was always His plan to move from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to even Florida. And this access to God is always through God. I want you to know that you have this access, but it wasn't always like this. Christ has made a way by His Spirit to the Father, and He continues to grant this access daily, hourly, if you need Him. We all struggle with something. I want you to know, why would you come to God and seek this access to God through Christ? Because we all struggle. We all suffer. We are all tempted in every way, just as Jesus was, and yet without sin. So we don't now come to a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but He's able to sympathize in every way. But He never sinned. And so He brings you by His perfect blood into the presence of God, not just daily, but hourly. And so come to Him. We are all wrestling with certain issues of faith where it's weak and failing, and we need to be strengthened. And so we need to hear again of Christ and His access for us. We need to be strengthened by faith to know that we have the privilege of access to a throne of grace to help in time of need. Do you understand how clear I'm trying to be about that? This is the glory of God made manifest in the face of Jesus Christ for us. And I want you to notice that, just to be clear, Ephesians 2, verses 13 and 17 again. I've been emphasizing this. I just want you to see it clearly from the context, because it's been several weeks since we were there. Verse 13 of Ephesians 2 says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Being brought near might echo other times and places in the Word of God. I've been alluding to certain language, but I want you to remember one thing. As I'm emphasizing through God in the flesh, the basis of Christ's proclamation of peace, and therefore Paul's proclamation of peace, is His blood, and now the access through Him. He proclaims peace because access to the Father has been brought into effect through Him. When we preach the gospel and say that, "For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. But what else does John 14:6 say? It says, Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus is the way to the Father. Access to God is through God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. But there's the way. We often think a lot about the truth and the life, perhaps, and I've emphasized them, but here the way is critical. And why is this so important? Because do you remember the situation we were setting up in that temple circumstance I tried to make from your right hand outside the dividing wall of hostility where the Gentiles were kept? And then you would move into the sanctuary temple because you want to get to be with God. You want to get to where God dwelt. But access wasn't easy. In fact, it was dangerous because God was so holy. And what was the problem in the persons? What's the problem in you? What's the problem in me that makes access to God so impossible, infinitely, eternally impossible? What is it? Sin. I'm unholy. I'm unable to enter into the presence of God because the moment I do, God could extinguish me. Fire could come out from the presence of the Lord and consume me because I am not perfect in thought, word, and deed. So who gives me access? The one who is perfect and was perfect in thought, word, and deed. No sinner has any right or worthiness. No unclean person, if you're uncomfortable with the word sinner. No unclean person in any way, not even a spot, has right or worthiness in himself for access to God. But believers have been granted that access. Access has been granted. Access has been permitted through Christ and through faith in Christ's sacrificial death. Now you say, okay, I got that. Just look ahead to Ephesians 3, verses 11 and 12. Just a little bit further in the context, to know that this is, again, still part of Paul's heart of the message. In 3, 11 and 12, it says, this was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Whether we look at ancient Near Eastern illustrations, whether we use models that might resonate from our minds about stories of the Old Testament, or we think only about American history and Western democratic ideas, this idea of access is deep and rich in Paul. And we're going to spend, Lord willing, these 2 weeks on this point. And this is incredibly good news. And the author to the Hebrews is another one who has particular accents. It's not just in Paul, and I didn't want you just to see it in Paul, but have you already heard some of the allusions I've made about approaching and drawing near? Have you heard that in Paul, and then maybe it's resonating in your mind from Hebrews? If you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, we'll read just one verse. Two verses in Hebrews 7. There in Hebrews 7, I'll have you, when you're there, I just want you to quickly hear the context. Something profound is happening in Hebrews 7. A great mystery of the Bible. I'm going to pretend I'm way over here in time, and I'm over here in Hebrews 7. I'm still in the first century. And he's talking about someone named Melchizedek. Can you all tell me who Melchizedek is? Okay, in your mind, you're thinking about Melchizedek. Well, his name is Melech Tzedek in the Hebrew. That means king of righteousness. And where did Melchizedek? Where's the only other place in the whole Bible? All the way back here in Genesis, this righteous king shows up to talk to Abraham out of nowhere. He's called the king of righteousness and the king of peace because he's from the city of peace, Jerusalem. And this king of peace, king of righteousness, shows up again, and the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 7 how to understand what was going on with Melchizedek. It's saying there's a greater king of peace and a greater king of righteousness who was to come. In verse 19 of Hebrews 7, it says, "For the law made nothing perfect." But on the other hand, right, the law, just to let you know, the ceremonies and sacrifices that we've talked about in Ephesians 2 already. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. A better hope which we draw near. Now look down to verse 25. Hebrews 7:25 says, Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That is, he always lives to make intercession for us. If you would, look up here. Have you heard now how the Bible teaches you about access to God? How approach to God is made possible. Access to God through God, who is Jesus Christ. And he, if you are in any way doubtful, but you believe in Jesus Christ, you have been weak, you have been failing, you know that all this week, in and of yourself, you don't deserve access. What did Hebrews 7:25 say? He always lives to intercede for you. That one who by his precious blood has given you access, boldness, and confident access to the Holy of Holies is Jesus. By his blood, you have access to God through Christ and by his blood. Always living to intercede for you, you now know that you have one at the right hand of the Father who always lives to intercede for you. He is your mediator, available all the time, every minute of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month of your life. Is that sweet to you this morning? Remember when we were talking about gospeling peace? This is gospeling, proclaiming good news. I want you to hear this good news, and I want you to preach it to yourself, and I want you to preach it to those around you who are struggling with the idea that, well, maybe I won't pray as much. Maybe I can't pray as much as I can. Go back and review Ephesians 2, 18. Remember Hebrews 7 or Romans 5. But those passages are before you to remember and to hide them in your heart so that they will inform your mind, so that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened and you would come faithfully to God, consistently. The point of this, once again, is to highlight that there is complete and equal access for anyone who is in Christ without any sort of distinction. For the first century, it was Jew and Gentile. For us, it might be some other distinction. You might think you're not holy enough. You might think you're not right enough. You haven't done this enough or done that enough. But anyone without distinction who comes in Christ has access to God through Christ. Faith alone in Christ is the single requirement for entrance into the Father's presence. And I'm just going to mention this now as we look now next week. We'll see. This specific access is spoken of in a unique way. It's speaking of the Trinity. And I just want you to hear it, and we'll mention it more next week. For through him, that is Jesus, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is being testified to in Ephesians 2:18. Is Ephesians 2:18 one of your proof texts to prove the Trinity? It can be. It's profound in its subtle simplicity and glory. Now, where we began in Ephesians, in Washington, D.C. This morning we were talking about how difficult access would be. And next week, we're going to begin like that as well. We're going to consider how difficult it would be, but there are certain people who have access to the president that we don't have. But this morning, I want you to consider something visionary. I want you to consider a picture of reality that's in your Bible, that was visionary in the first century and has been visionary ever since. But it's a picture of access that might not inform you as readily as you think. It might only come up once a year as you read your Bible. But it's a known place. And I want you to turn to the last chapter of your Bible. I began by speaking about the original pictures and Moses. Now I want to talk to you about a reality that is portrayed in visionary form. A reality that is portrayed in visionary form at the end of your Bible and helps us to create longing in our souls. When in the Old Testament we could not get access into the temple grounds, and definitely not into the Holy of Holies, there was a vision in the end of the first century that was proclaimed that describes the reality of your lives, whether you know it or not. I want you to actually pick up in 21:22. Chapter 21, verse 22, we're just going to read a couple verses here. And I want you to hear these words and see the picture that God has chosen to make for you at the end of your Bible. John says, "In this vision, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb." Now, push forward into chapter 22 and begin at verse 4 of Revelation 22. The vision is continuing, and a promise is being made of immediate access to God. Verse 4 of 22 says, "They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more, and they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." Do you know that this picture is the picture of the reality of your future to come? I've taken you, as it were, all the way through the Bible by looking at Moses, the mediator, who had to be our mediator to enter into the presence. And only certain people could enter into the Holy of Holies, and only once a year, never without blood. We are not even talking about faith when it comes to Revelation 21 and 2. Faith has become sight. There is no more need for walled-off temples and walled-off Holy of Holies to get access to God in that future vision. The reality is portrayed in visionary form at the end of your Bible, but it's a perfect city in a new creation where there's no need of tabernacle or temple that has walled-off sections where you are not allowed access to God. But a picture that He will be right in our midst, and we will see Him face to face. The walk by faith that we endure in this life with access to God through Jesus will one day be transformed, and we will simply see Him face to face. May you think, may that inform your hearts and minds this week. May that vision at the end of the Word of God for you fill you today, this week, and for the rest of your life until you get to see Jesus face to face. Let's pray. Our Lord, to course through the story of your redemption history, to course the story of your salvation, causes us to reorient our lives, to take your word for the truth that it is, and to seek to mine it for all the blessings and treasures that are present there, to see in echoes and foreshadows from your Old Testament, and the reality come in the New Testament in Christ. But Jesus, we know that we still don't see you physically with our eyes. But we know that this great gift of faith that you have given us has helped us to see you. And we ask that you would continue to dig out our ears and continue to drop the scales from our eyes, and especially the eyes of our heart, where faith is strengthened as you illumine the eyes of our heart by your Spirit, as Paul said in Ephesians 1. Would you continue to do this? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.